Welcome back, MGTOW men. First off, before I get going, I want to thank all of you guys for the support, for commenting, for emailing me, for subscribing and sharing your ideas and insights with me. It's humbling, and I get joy out of hearing from each and every one of you. But in regards to donations too, all of you guys that have donated recently are a godsend in at all. It's been amazing, and Dustin, my man, incredible. I can't even believe the generosity and giving spirit that you guys have. Thank you, and I'm going to create a list of all my patrons and those that have donated with the list in the description when I get that list compiled. So, you guys participate, and there is only one thing for me to do, and that's to make more content. And today's content is yet another Sunday sermon, my favorite to make, and hopefully they're enjoyable for you as well. And whether or not you deem the Bible and its teachings to be of any value, that, you know, I think this video will be helpful. And there are some great MGTOW insights that can apply to all men. And today's topic is about David and Saul. And while the passage I'm using takes place in 1 Samuel 17, the same chapter in which David kills Goliath, I won't be focusing primarily on David and Goliath. I will be focusing on how David turned down the king of Israel by not accepting the armor that he had set out for him to face Goliath. So to set up that scene, although most of you guys know the whole story, we often forget what David did prior to facing Goliath. We often just think that he was young and he was a shepherd and didn't have any equipment because he wasn't a real member of the Israeli army at that point. So to follow along, I'm going to look at 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in his pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Man, the king of Israel offers you his armor, and instead you go to a stream to pick up stones. Going his own way. Here we have, guys, the king of Israel, man that had ruled for 42 years and considered one of the greatest kings in all Israel's history, leading the nation from a tribalist status to now a full-fledged state. And on the other hand, we have David, a 15-year-old boy that just turned down the king of Israel as he was facing to go face and take on one of the greatest warriors of the day, someone that could have crushed David's head with one blow, could have made his head cave in and crumble. And he said no. There are a few MGTOW moments in the Bible that aren't talked about very much, and I would include Daniel to be one of them as he was dealing with Nebuchadnezzar, some of Paul's verses, Jehu's actions, and killing Jezebel, and now right here. And so this is the first point that I'm going to look at, guys. Know your terms and fight on them. Know your needs and get them. Essentially, what is necessary for one man can be a death sentence for another. So I talk about the concept of controlling your environment and playing by the rules that you have set for your life a lot. David did exactly that here. He had the terms in place. He had the battleground he wanted ahead of him and armor, even if it was finely crafted and made fit for a king. It was one of those crucial elements in the environment that he needed. Men, you should know what you need for success. When you're going MGTOW, you should know what provisions you need to reach your full potential, but also how much you have to get out of life and your job and your resources in order to reach your end goal and to be independent. And there's a comparison that I make a lot, and if any of you guys are military members, you can probably make a better comparison than this. But when you're preparing for battle, there are certain things that you need to have set in place that you know you need that other people might not. So I was a college pitcher. I started off my career as a reliever, and I transitioned to a starter my junior and senior years. So every pitcher's arm responds differently. Most pitching coaches recommend throwing each day. Even if you just started the day before and threw 100-plus pitches, they would recommend that to me, and I never did it. I knew that my arm would break down. I suffered from a sore arm a lot. I dealt with a lot of tendonitis, and I knew it would break down, and I needed extra rest. And instead, I'd rather work out in the gym. I'd burn lactic acid by running each day and stretching and icing. And those were the keys to my success. I was not following the program that was outlined for me because I believe that every man has his own calculated kind of identity with certain things and his needs, his individual needs. It can go with diet as well. I had to go against my pitching coach all the while my teammates were asking me to throw. I'd instead be running 3 miles per practice and getting a lift in instead because I knew that was what my body and my mind needed and not what conventional pitching wisdom would say. And I would go and train on game day and often not eat before games because this is the mental state that I wanted to be in. I didn't want any extra baggage, and I always said to myself, do something harder than the event that you're going to be judged by that day. So if you can work out, if you can put that grind on, then you can pitch. You can do what you're going to be judged upon. And while other people may question you, you know what you need to do for success. You know your ritual. And you realize that if David had accepted this armor, what another person was prescribing for him, he would have likely died. And what works for Saul and what is necessary for him to survive and to be saved and protect himself in the field of battle was what would kill David. He would lose his agility. And if you follow the plans and the advice that is laid out for you by your friends even, you might die as well. Sure, there are some that you can take. And this doesn't, you know, throw out the window any advice that other people bring to you, no. But nobody knows you better than yourself, and that's part of MGTOW. And the advice that parents provide and the advice that they set forth may be helpful in some situations, but no information trumps the power of your own life experience and self-knowledge. So men, get those things. And the next thing is similar, but the suit is not always tailored for you guys. In those times, and especially for warriors that were also kings, royalty or whatever they were, high up in military rankings, all of them had armor that was specifically crafted for them by a blacksmith. The breastplate, the helmet, the shin guards, the forearm sleeves, or whatever they're called. The bracer armor, I don't know. They were all fit for the dimensions of that person. And if you compare it to modern day situations, you can compare it to a suit tailor crafting a suit for the dimensions of a man that is looking to buy that suit. And the width of a coat and pants, the length of the arms, essentially it would be unlikely that it will fit precisely on any other man, just the man that it has had the suit crafted for, the suit was crafted for. And David essentially would have been trying to wear another man's suit. He would have been asking someone that is 6'2", while he is just 5'7", and looking to wear that suit that was tailored for those dimensions, not his own. He would not have been able to move. He would have been slow. He would have been uncomfortable. His full potential would not have been met because of external circumstances. And it's like a football player wearing a helmet that's too big. It's going to be bobbing around. It may bounce off. It may get in the way of him reaching top speed, and it will not protect him. And we often sell out for things made for other people. We pursue the things that aren't for us and are rather made for others, whether it's functional things or where we live, what car we drive, what food we eat. Well, the only thing that is suited for us, pun intended, is the suit that is designed exactly for us. And guys, make sure you're not wearing another man's suit in life because it will cost you your life and it will not fit. And the next thing is, don't be afraid to turn down authority when following it could cost you. And so once again, David, he was just a kid. Saul was a king, and he would be king for, I think, 42 years. And Saul would later pursue David by no end and try to kill him. And at one moment, despite the fact that David held good favor in Saul's eyes, Saul could have snapped right there and killed David or thrown him to the side in some way and exiled him for not wearing his armor. And how disrespectful do you think, or how disrespected do you think Saul felt when a kid turned down the top of the line armor weaponry and instead chose to use a sling and a stone that anyone could find laying around? David knew how to use them, but the point here is that sometimes you have to have the courage to stand up to authority and go your own way when the authority may be viewed as full of wisdom, but instead is leading you astray. And this comes down to what we see in marriages, men, and men that don't assert their power with the woman that they're with. The woman that they're with, and soon that woman begins to be the leader. Saul is not questioned. She takes over, and the next step that you take is a dangerous one. And she takes over, and you never step in and draw the line in the sand when the line needs to be drawn. And the authority is in the wrong hands. And while Saul had the authority now, soon he would be consumed by rage, anger, and what was said to be a mental disorder by many psychologists that have actually analyzed him. And he was unfit to be in the position of authority because of this. David's life and army of Israel, it could have been decimated. And do not be afraid of being shunned by authority and being turned down by whom you have respect for. Life is too short not to speak up. And the next thing is, this one really struck me, and probably is the most important one from today, is we replace our own skills with the items of the world. And each and every one of you that's listening right now, I guarantee you guys that you have a specific skill. And I don't care if you don't believe that or you don't think it's true or if you think your skill is insignificant, but you have one. And no man is birthed without at least something. Maybe that something is literally that you can memorize the capitals of all the countries in the world, but it is a skill. And these skills that you cultivate in life with the free time that MGTOW affords you are the skills that set you apart. Every man makes a career for himself for the skills he creates in order to differentiate himself from other men around him. Do other men in that army, could they sling that stone like him? No, maybe they could, but they don't have the courage to accompany it either. And for David, that differentiator was a slinger. He could sling a stone unlike them. It may seem minor, and it's not like he was building homes, learning how to throw a spear, learning trades as a blacksmith. He was out in the countryside and in the mountains slinging down animals that would have put his sheep at risk of being killed when he was a shepherd. That's how he made this skill. And this minor, minuscule activity that's looked at as unimportant, these things often turn into our careers. They often turn into our identities, and they often turn into our purpose. And don't let them go to the wayside, because it also saved the history of Israel. It would preserve the country that they lived in. Not the skills that were made by human hands, not the armor that was made by a blacksmith, the skills instead that were blessed and bestowed upon it by God, and that he cultivated through his efforts to make the armor, the spear, all these things created by human hands and used in battle, paled in comparison to the skills that he possessed himself. And man, when I used to play baseball all the time, I used to see this. All my teammates that would be blowing money on all this extra equipment, wrist guards, expensive spikes, the newest bat, the most finely wound glove. I never bought any of these things. Both of the gloves that I used in college came to me through teammates, and one of my best friends on the team gave me the first glove that I ever used, and the second one came after I paid a teammate $50 for it. The only thing that I would be judged upon, and I knew this, was the work that I did on the field. My coach would not play me because I had good equipment, all right? And the work that I did with my body and the skills that I put in to create, not the empty illusion that the materials we are given, will cover up our deficiencies, because they won't. And my message here is, what is the skill that you will cultivate? You and your abilities are the only thing you own in this world. And this is what you're going to be judged by at the end of the day. Don't follow the way of the world and all of us around us that are trying to create a reality of the world and an individual identity based on the items that they buy and the things that they bring in. Blue pill men and their sports car, chick magnets, wives and their granite countertops. Screw that. Make a skill. Prove yourself. And lastly, guys, some may offer gifts that are actually disguised as sabotage bombs. And while I haven't heard of this interpretation of this interaction between Saul and David, it's one that actually came across my mind considering Saul and David's future. It's the belief that Saul sabotaged David, knowing that the armor would take away from that one advantage that David had on Goliath, which was speed and mobility. And Saul was on good terms with David at the time, and considering that David was the only one that was willing to take the call and face Goliath, Saul probably wanted David to succeed. But man, this is just a warning that sometimes the help that others offer, even if they're well-intended, or the graces of a woman and the accompanying words that she is looking out for your life, may actually be the one thing that stands in between you and using what you already have, which is all that you need, the sling and the stone. And Saul could have been providing that pen that was actually a bomb, that wine that was actually poison. Always be skeptical and take no gift or friendly offer without a reasoning mind and an analytical heart. Trust your gut, guys, as your intuition is stronger than you know. And David failed men. David said no to a king. David ran from his own brothers, his own family, an entire army that was after him in the name that he possessed, and he survived. Saul was after him. A teenager destroyed Goliath. He possessed more wisdom than nearly any man at this time. He rebuilt Israel. He made it a strong nation. But guess what? I'm always going to remind you guys about David, especially, and many of these men that I bring up. And as I covered in the David and Bathsheba video, he fell to a woman. This man killed Goliath, but he still fell to her. And this same man that stood before a giant with just a sling and a stone fell. And no man is free from the threat of an alluring, seductive voice, or in this case, what could be deceptively lent hand of help. So men, I hope this found you well today. I want to deliver this message, but because you have the tools that you need to go your own way. Sometimes you have to just look inwardly. You have to simplify. And every man has a sling and a stone with him. What is yours? What is your sling and your stone? What are you creating? Have you found it? Because you don't need the armor of another. You have what you need to go your own way. So thank you guys. I want more stories to be told every day. I want to hear them all. And I want to make sure that this continues. And to do so, you guys got to reach out to me. Keep doing it. The best way to do so is to reach out to me through email at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter at sunrisehoodie. I will get back to you guys, and your emails and comments are what fuel my future content. Don't expect donations from these ideas, men. I only want your involvement and your support, and I want to be able to be supported by you inversely as well, because it does occur. Remember, men, another man's armor is not fit for you. Wear your own. Hoodies up, hoodies out.